Well, good morning once again. I would also like to welcome, and I apologize that I did not at the beginning of service today, but Russ O'Neill, who's back from Ireland, and also Lori, and welcome and thank you for coming today. It's very, very nice to see you. Rescues, great rescues. Think of any rescue that you can think of that's really spectacular. I mean, there are a lot of military rescues and military operations that we hear about, people going in and rescuing people who are in captivity. There's actually some pretty interesting rescues of schoolgirls in Africa who were rescued from being captured and so on. I've got a couple of other rescues that you may or may not have heard about. Have you heard about the 33? The 33. The 33 is about 33 men on August the 5th, 2010, who were in the San Jose copper gold mine in Chile. The flood trapped these miners 700 meters underground, and it took 69 days to rescue them, and it involved the Chilean government, actually NASA, and dozens of corporations trying to drill down and bring them up out of the mine. They eventually were all rescued. Imagine being underground for 69 days. What about food? What about water? What about sanitation? What do you do when you're down there for that period of time? Let alone with 33 other guys who may or may not all be your friend. How do you get along with each other? But they did. They did. One of them, a guy by the name of Mario Sepulveda, said, "All 33 trapped miners practicing a one-man, one-vote democracy work together to maintain the mine, look for escape routes, keep up morale. We knew that if society broke down, we'd all be doomed." They were all rescued. And Sully's Miracle, I don't know if you've seen that. You've shown it on the TV many, many times. That was an incredible. And if you've ever flown on an airplane, and the millions of, I've done a couple of million miles, it is scary to think when you're told that this plane just had damage to it and we got to go back and land, but we can't land. We can't land on pavement. So Sully landed the plane on the Hudson River, and the passengers got out of the plane and walked on the wing and were rescued. What an amazing rescue that must have been. And I mean, having been on an airplane, it would be horrifying, the anxiety that you would be going through in something like that. But they were all rescued. And then there's the Andrea Doria, the boat, or ship actually, a luxury cruiser. It ended up on the bottom of the ocean. The Andrea was probably, how would I put it? The rescue was as a result of understanding what had happened to the Titanic and that there were other ships in the area. And as this Andrea Doria began to sink, other ships in the area came around and were able to get close enough to be able to get the passengers out of there on time. Unfortunately, and this happened back in 1956, unfortunately, 46 of the people on board died, but 1,660 were rescued. An amazing rescue. And I'm sure you've heard of Apollo 13, Houston, we've got a problem. There's been the Entebbe crisis. There's the other one which I think will tear at your heart if you go and read about it, is baby Jessica, who fell down a well and was there for 58 hours, you know, all by herself, a little baby, and was finally rescued. Huge rescues. There's so many stories of rescues in the world and the people and the compassion that they had for the folks that were in terrible trouble. And then we have some rescues in the Bible. some of the greatest rescues of all. The first one, of course, was Abram. He rescues his nephew Lot. In Genesis chapter 14, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And during the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah near Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. That's a movie in itself, okay? It's a huge rescue that took place. And then, of course, the one that you probably all remember, we all remember, is, of course, is Exodus. The Israelites being rescued. God's people being redeemed. After plagues and confrontation with Pharaoh, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, and finally, the Exodus, the Red Sea. And there we have in Exodus chapter 6 where God promises, I will take you as my own people, I'll be your God, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God, and who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. God said, I'll make you know, or you will know, that I brought you out, I rescued you, and you will know who I am. And after that rescue took place, Moses sang a song in Exodus chapter 15. He says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. By both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. He's my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. I'll put him up on high. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And it wasn't just Moses who sang a song. It was also Miriam. Miriam sang a song just in a few verses later. It says, Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. If you like history, and you like to read about adventures, one of the greatest ones is where David rescues his wives from the Amalekites. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David recovered everything that the Amalekites had gone in and taken everything, captured all the people, captured his wives and his kids and everything. And says, finally, though, David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. Another movie. That you could, just incredible. These stories of people being rescued all throughout the Bible. Daniel. We all know about Daniel and the lion's den. We all know the outcome of that story. But I find the thing that's interesting about the Daniel is in chapter 6, King Nebuchadnezzar sort of challenges him. He says, so the king gave the order, which is put Daniel in the lion's den, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And then the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Boy, there's a challenge. May the God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. That was Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel. And then, of course, Daniel is rescued, thank you. And Nebuchadnezzar now praises God. Okay? So, why all these miraculous rescues? Why are these all there for us to read about? What is it that made God do these things for his people? Why these rescues? David actually reminds us about that in Psalm 106. He reminds us as to why the Israelites were rescued from Pharaoh and why they were rescued from the Egyptians. In Psalm 106, verse 7 to 12, he says, "When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles." All these plagues and everything else that were happening, no thought. "They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea." And then here's the key verse. "Yet he saved them." Why did he save them? "He saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known." God saved the Israelites. He rescued Daniel. He allowed David to rescue his wives. And the many other rescues that took place that we read about in the Old Testament. Why did he do it? He does it for his name's sake and to make his mighty power known. It demonstrates that he is, as was mentioned already today, the sovereign Lord. He has the power. He is the omnipresent, overly powerful, most powerful God of all. And he rescues for his name's sake. Samuel, at the coronation of Saul, before Saul becomes king, he says, "For the sake of his great name, for the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own." He will not reject us because of the sake of his great name. For his great name, he will not reject his people. We all know Psalm 23. Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But in verse 3 of Psalm 23, it says, "He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths." Why? How? For his name's sake. For his name's sake. Psalm 23, verse 3. David understood why he was getting the Lord's guidance, why he was being rescued, why we can be rescued daily. It is for God's name. In God's name's sake. But there's another reason that he rescues. He rescues for his glory. He rescues for his glory. If we read Psalm 96, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." Glory due to his name. "Bring an offering and come into his courts." So God rescues for his name's sake. God rescues for his glory. But you know, the greatest rescue mission ever started almost 2,000 years ago. The greatest rescue mission is still underway. And that rescue mission includes many people that are in this room today. One of the greatest rescues of all is probably the person sitting next to you. Those who have been called by God, born again. You see, the greatest rescue is the power that God used to call you and to call me, to change our hearts, to deliver us from the old self, and to be reborn. See, that great rescue was to free us from sin and free us from the bondage of death. See, See, God rescued us from death by sending Jesus Christ to die in our place. God rescued us into his eternal favor by freely giving us his Son, Jesus Christ's righteousness. And God rescued us by his mercy because of his great love. The greatest rescue, you see, is the miracle of salvation and the winning of lost sinners. In Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came to rescue, and he became the greatest rescuer of all. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved or rescued." See, grace, I think I put this in the next one. Yes, I did. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes in the first chapter, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Rescued us so that we might have eternal life. Rescued us so that we can be in the kingdom of God." That rescue has already taken place upon your repentance and receiving of the Holy Spirit. The freedom that you are given because of Christ's sacrifice. So it's the gospel. This is the gospel message. It's the announcement of God's ability to change a person's heart and mind. It's for all people. There is no discrimination. There's no favoritism as to who will be called or who can be called, because he makes it very clear that it is available to all. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued. How are we rescued? Oh, that's interesting. How are we rescued? Well, I find that I have to relate a story, not a story, a little incident that happened this past week. We were waiting to get into the room for Bible study. And it's quite a large room, meeting room, and there were a lot of people in there. I don't even know what their meeting was about. But we were waiting outside. Finally, some of us get in, and then the people that were there were leaving. But as they were leaving, they noticed that some of the people coming in for Bible study were carrying Bibles. And I guess somebody made a comment that said, "Oh, there's a religious group coming in." And then this little comment flies out to, I don't know who they directed it to directly, whether it was Tom or you or
to each other.
And they said, "We are good people too." And you have to think about it. Oh, hang on a second here. "We are good people too." How would you answer that if somebody came to you, "I'm a good person too"? Okay, so here's how I interpreted that comment. That comment was, "You guys think you're so good, but we're good people too." All right? I would love to have had that opportunity to just say, "Hang on a second, we're not good. We are not good. Okay? You might be good and think you're good, but we're not. That's the number one thing we really believed." And then that's your introduction. Because in Romans 3, chapter 23, you can say, "For all have sinned," even those people who think they're good, "all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But how can we be rescued? How are we rescued? By God, he demonstrates his own love to us while we are still still, I think that's interesting, we're still sinners, God or Christ died for us. Here's our opportunity when somebody says, well, I'm pretty good, I'm okay. God will remember all the good stuff I did. Yeah, but hang on a second, you're a sinner. Nobody likes to hear that word, but that's what we are. And then the next one. Oh, by the way, the wages of sin is death. It's all over. Okay? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ has rescued you upon your repentance. Jesus Christ has said, I want you in the kingdom. I sent my son to die on the cross so that you can be rescued. And then you can talk about the scripture that most people know, a lot of people who aren't even practicing, I don't want to use the word practicing, those who believe they're Christians, but they are and they aren't in some different ways, but they'll all tell you about John 3:16, but they don't really see what John 3:16 actually says. You see, it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his son and only son, that whoever, anybody, whether you think you're good or not, anybody, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You're rescued by belief. We've talked about belief already in the prayer time. We've talked about belief in our service this morning already. Anyone who believes in him shall not perish. Anybody, whoever, doesn't make any difference where you're from, where you live, what language you speak. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. And then you can look into verse 17 and it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And I'll replace one little word here. But to rescue the world from him, through him. Greatest rescue of all. The greatest rescue of all. And you know what's interesting? Is that even when you believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot save yourself by works. He's already done the work. He's taken on that penalty. He has paid for it with his blood. Amen. We're saved by one thing. Because of his great love for us in Ephesians chapter 2. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved or rescued. You can put those words in. It doesn't make any difference. It's the same. It is by grace. It is by Christ's sacrifice. It is recognizing that we are all sinners and we are rescued, redeemed, set free. Why? For his name's sake and for his glory. For his name's sake and for his glory. You know, we're rescued from the world now. We're rescued from the evil around us, even though it pervades. And we are now born into a kingdom. We have a new life. Thanks to the rescue of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to rescue us. And we know and we praise you. We know that you are rescuing us and your family is being enhanced and the body of Christ is being built and we can look forward to the kingdom. But we know that this is all being done for your name's sake and for your glory. All glory belongs to you. All glory belongs to you, Father in heaven. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us that life. Thank you, great God. We place our lives into your hands, and may we honor you and not bring shame to your name. be understand your grace, and may we understand the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was going to